Tom Karkel in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, we're looking at increasing clouds and a chance at flurries and or snow shower activity, the high around the mid-30s. Temperature-wise, Kenosha at this hour, 25 degrees, 26 in Burlington. In Milwaukee, 27 and 25 in Racine. Racine Mayor Corey Mason proposing the use of $900,000 from the Intergovernmental Revenue Sharing Fund for job and development-related efforts and for dealing with what he calls an opportunity gap in a region that's about to explode with job potential.
It's the construction jobs that are coming first. It's also a good point of entry for people who are new to the workforce to be able to access those jobs. They're good-paying jobs that are that require some training, but allow our community to be able to access those jobs sooner rather than later. So it's why it's construction-related jobs to really focus on.
$500,000 requested so Racine County Economic Development Corporation can contract worker training services for city residents and prepare them for those jobs, construction jobs mainly. $275,000, he said, projected at Racine County Economic Development Corporation for their consulting services that would include on collaborative work with neighboring communities.
If there's Foxconn-related stuff, be it for land use or transit or workforce, that's where these discussions are happening. I'm out at IMEC quite a bit doing meetings around these regional conversations. The good news is the city's there and we're at the table and we're having these conversations. And that's part of the reason you'd want to interact there. We need to revise our own, you know, plans for what we want to do in the city, but it's good that we're being invited in about how does this fit in countywide with where we think economic development is going to happen.
And $125,000 would be for real estate and development work to be handled by the city attorney's office. Mayor Mason noting potentially that's reimbursable if it's related to tax incremental district efforts.
We have a lot of interest in redevelopment on sites here in the city of Racine, which is great. A challenge that we have is there's enough real estate work that needs to be done that the city's office really needs additional resources to help move some of those development projects along. Now this is a kind of allocation that if it is a TID-related expense, the IG fund could be reimbursed for it if the work is done properly.
The mayor also supporting a quarterly reporting requirement with the IGA funding request. It goes from the Finance Committee with support to the full council. The intergovernmental fund, by the way, which the city has until the year 2032, now totals over $3 million. Mayor Mason indicated some projections have given the city between $300,000 and $500,000 more per year in the near future with the arrival of Foxconn. Manufacturers looking for ways to grow their business can learn a little bit more about financial and technical assistance that's available at the state and local levels with an event called Real Resources for Manufacturers. It'll be on March the 21st in Racine County from 7:30 till 9:30 in the morning at Gateway Technical College's S.C. Johnson IMET Center. That's in Sturtevant's Renaissance Business Park. Business officials can learn more about local and state low-interest loan programs. Also, a new productivity tool that's available called the Transformational Productivity Initiative, or TPI. It's a benchmark where the company's performance provides a roadmap to improving the factors that could increase profitability. There's more information about this and registration for the event on the 21st. It's online. joininwisconsin.com/realmanufacturing. Permission to operate 24/7 through early May granted by the Mount Pleasant Village Board last night to an asphalt plant along the interstate that's going to supply the asphalt for the resurfacing project on Highway 20. It is Stark Asphalt, which sought the variance to operate around the clock, winning the bid for supplying the materials for the DOT project. The resurfacing is Highway 20 from the interstate to near Highway 11 because of all the expected increase in traffic due to the Foxconn project. Community Development Director Sam Schultz says since he's been here with the village, there have been no problems with Stark Asphalt.
In the 2 years that they've been under operation, I've been with the department. We haven't received a single complaint regarding their operation. And they actually expanded it within the limits of their conditional use one time already, just to expand the size of the hopper, and we didn't receive any complaints after that happened either.
The variance approved unanimously last night. Kenosha Unified School Board's Planning Facilities Equipment Committee scheduled a meet at 5:30 this evening. That agenda includes projects in the 2018-19 capital plan, also a report on utility energy savings through facilities upgrades. The capital plan, launched 17 years ago, has $500,000 going toward the masonry restoration at Reuther High School. That is a loan for which the project is going to be paid off by the end of the 2019-20 fiscal year. $1.5 million remains for other major maintenance projects. In addition to energy savings, $500,000 from over 10 years will be going toward other capital projects. The big-ticket project sites continue to be Tremper and Bradford High Schools, plus Bullen and Lance Middle School. As for the energy savings, Facilities Director Pat Finnemore says through December, almost $39,500 more had been spent on natural gas than a year ago, with about $51,500 less on electricity. And the Southeast Wisconsin Professional Park District Board is meeting today, and they're getting a report that recommends retiring the 0.1% sales tax for constructing Miller Park, retiring it in early 2020. Tax was started in 1996 toward the $290 million in construction debt, plus the interest for the ballpark, which opened in 2001. Of course, there have been several symbolic legislative efforts along the way to end the tax, especially in recent years. All have gone nowhere. Former Chief Building Inspector for the City of Racine, Rick Heller, is being remembered after his sudden passing last weekend at the age of 64. Heller, who retired in November of 2011, had worked for the city for many years, the last several in his supervisory role. A memorial service for Rick Heller is scheduled this Saturday morning at the Marsh Meredith and Acklam Funeral Home. In the Village of Summers, a discarded fireplace log started a fire that damaged a home late yesterday afternoon. Fire Chief Carson Wilkinson telling WRJN News that a tenant in the building at 110 22 7th Street took a log out of the fireplace and thought it was cool enough, so put it on the deck. Noticed fire outside, thought he'd put it out, but then later smoke started coming from a wall inside the home and 911 had to be called. Fire crews used a thermal imaging camera and said the fire had spread inside the wall. The damage was confined to that wall, but three residents were displaced and had to find another place to stay last night. She was taking the Metro train from downtown Chicago toward Kenosha, going home. Got arrested, though. Before that, witnesses say that she was into a profanity-laced tirade with her son and then assaulted another passenger who showed support for the boy. Here's the story from WRJN's Janet Hoff.
33-year-old Kenosha resident Elizabeth Pope, as the train was leaving, allegedly began to berate her 14-year-old son, calling him an idiot. The other passenger was a 57-year-old Lake County judge heading home from a concert who told the boy, "You are not an idiot," and suggested the woman stop talking to her son that way. Pope, who reportedly smelled of alcohol, was then accused of punching the judge and hitting her in the face with a cell phone. The judge pleaded for help, with a conductor eventually finding Pope on the train with her son. She was taken to jail for aggravated battery with a bond set at $70,000. The judge from Lake County needed 5 stitches to her upper lip. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
In Racine County Court, a 67-year-old Waterford man arrested Monday accused of possessing child pornography. The Racine County Sheriff's Department's Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force making the arrest of Gregory Frank. He remains in the county jail. A search of his residence, according to court documents, indicates that several electronic storage devices were found, and they contain more than 100 alleged images of child pornography. The Racine County Board meets at 6:30 tonight at Ives Grove. Included on the agenda is the first reading of a resolution that authorizes creation of 29 various new full-time employee positions in health services, eliminating a like amount of full-time contracted positions. Changes because Goodwill of Southeast Wisconsin told the county last month it was ending an employer of the record contract for adult protective services along with mental health services, affecting about 5 dozen contracted positions. Resolution says that adding the 29 county positions will allow health services to improve employee retention, plus stabilize revenue potential and overall program quality of services that are delivered. Plus, there's a projected $7,000 savings. The changeover is expected to come in May or in June. And the deadline for putting items onto the agenda for the Mount Pleasant Village Board meetings is apparently going to be changing at the urging of the village's brand new attorney. The deadline has been a week prior to the regular Monday evening board meetings, but the new village lawyer, Chris Smith, said that it was unworkable. In fact, in this day and age, he said, it's downright unreasonable.
We either push back anything that could happen Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, maybe Friday morning, something that might be very important that this whole board would want to take up at that meeting, maybe things that are time sensitive. We either have to push that out to the next week meeting, so 2 weeks, more than 2 weeks later, within in this day and age with some things is an eternity, or, on the other hand, violate the law.
Trustee John Hansen thought the current system was working quite well, didn't think there a change was needed. Vote was 4-2, however, to make the change with the ordinance and to remove the deadline. Smith also recommending that the comments portion of the meeting agenda be removed or modified, pointing out that state law requires advance notice for all issues that come before the board, including trustee comments. Those recommendations are expected to be discussed in committee in the coming weeks. WRJN.com is our webpage. We keep our newscast in podcast form in the local news section. And throughout the day, at WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.